Do you ever get that? Mm. It's just so good. You know? Mm, you know? Hi. Oh, good. You're here. Welcome to The Well. I've already been here. My name is Nate. I help out around here. Thankful to be in the presence of God tonight. Hands to the worship team. Can we give them a round? Man. Skillfully leading us into the presence of the Lord. I got to tell you, I'm excited about tonight, and I'll tell you why. We have been going through a series for the last few weeks focusing in on the attributes of God. This series we titled Big, because our God is really big, really, really big. And we've been taking a week discovering and kind of jumping into, more and more attributes of who he is. And so if you remember kind of a brief catch-up, we've talked about how God is holy, right? We've talked about how he is jealous. We've talked about how he's faithful. We've talked about how he is love. These are all amazing things. And tonight, we're jumping into another attribute of God, and this is the wrath of God. Yeah. Right? All right. Everybody's favorite. And so we are jumping in, and we're going to talk about what does it mean for the God of the universe, who is all-loving, also to be a God who is just and who demonstrates perfect divine wrath. So to that end, let's pray, right, so I don't screw this all up, and that we have open hearts and minds to hear the truth of God tonight, and we'll dive into Scripture together. So, Lord, thank you again. Wow. Thank you for a community that seems to be coming more and more alive each and every week in and by the power of your Spirit. Tonight, my hope is in humility I may be able to present your word accurately and full of truth. We pray that I would go away. There's probably several amens out there to that end. And that instead you would come and teach us in your beauty and in your perfection and in your truth. So we do pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God. And God's people said, amen. Wrath. So I'm thinking, as I'm preparing for this, and I'm thinking to the Lord, what is the thing that I can get a handhold on? Because this is a topic, candidly, we don't talk much about. And this is something that I want to understand more because I want to understand you more. And he brought to mind the story of growing up, and I was like, yes, I experienced wrath as a child, and I want to tell it to you, okay? And so it goes like this. I had a younger brother who was my partner in crime. His name's Levi. I still have him. He's around. He's older, but me too. And we used to stir up the wrath of our parents from time to time, and we did so well as a team. Now, this particular instance, it was all on me, but I blame him as a huge culprit of this debacle that I got myself into. And so here's the background story that you need to know. Short and sweet, I think I'm 10 years old at the time, he's probably 7. And all you need to know in the background story is that somehow, better than zero. Okay, very good. Okay, we're back. This one actually is low too, so we might need to change it again. We run on a pretty high budget here at The Well. I just want to let you know. Okay, so here I am. My brother's 7 and I am 10, and this is the background. He hurt his ribs playing at school somehow. I don't know what the child did. And our instructions from our parents were, when you're playing with one another, just be careful. Don't do anything crazy. And we're like, oh, yeah, I don't know. And that was it, because he had a bruised rib or something. And so I remember being home, and my brother and I were like super into wrestling. I know it's fake. It's fine. And we really had like favorite characters and stuff like that. But here's this other thing. I think around that time in my life, either it was just came out or it was new to me, and that's possible because I lived in the sticks. We discovered this amazing candy, and it's called Gushers. Do you remember this? They probably still make it. Okay, Gushers were awesome because it was like a gummy bear with a surprise. You know, like it's like there's something inside of it that's gooey and delicious. They inject gummy bears with more sugar in a liquid form to the happiness of many children everywhere. And so we had just kind of discovered these things, and I made the astute observation as a 10-year-old that the green ones were like boogers with snot inside of them. And that was, whatever, you know. I haven't really matured much since then, but that is true of me there. And I decided that my brother needed to be force-fed a booger. And so I told him, this is a booger, and I'm going to make you eat it. He's like, no, no, no. And so we're running around, and I catch him because I'm bigger than him, and I'm trying to get him to eat it, and he's doing a pretty good job. So I found that the best way to hold him still and to get the booger in his mouth was to bend him over my knee and try to shove it in his mouth. Get in there. And in the midst of this very innocent, you know, kind of endeavor, we both hear, pop. And then I look at him, and he looks at me, and I'm like, don't you? And then, wah! Like, he just loses it. Like, decibels that I have never heard since then. I think, like, dogs from surrounding counties came. It was piercing. And I just drop him, you know. And, of course, my parents come flying in. They're like, what happened? And my excuse of, I was trying to make him eat a booger, apparently didn't go over well. And so, wrath. And what they did, I think, borders on child torture. Because they sent me to the room, the other room, to think about it. For like 10 minutes. You ever been sent in the other room to think about it? It's the worst thing ever. It's like, I would do anything at this point. I like come out halfway through. If you break one of my ribs, are we even now? Get back in there. All right. Like, because it's just like waiting is the worst. You do anything to get out of that. And, you know, I was kind of joking with the Lord about that. And he was, you know, saying to me, you know, that's not bad. You know, this idea that my wrath is this idea of punishment of sin and unrighteousness and evil in this world, and then it's not something that you enjoy. And so I say that as an analogy, but I want to give some caveats, and this is the first one. I think our friend Kat, you know, she spoke a couple weeks ago, and she did a really good job of outlining the difference between human jealousy and divine jealousy. You remember this? She gave you a little chart. I think it's really important at this point, before we go any further, that we talk about the difference between divine wrath and human wrath, right? I had awesome parents. That's not true of everybody in here. So this analogy of me getting punished for something that I wasn't supposed to do, maybe that's not connecting with you, and that's okay, you know, and I want to tell you that even if you weren't, you know, some of us were punished for things that we deserved, and some of us maybe were punished unfairly, you know. Regardless, I want to talk about the difference between human wrath and divine wrath, and this is kind of the main differences that I think. Human wrath is flawed. Divine wrath is perfect. Okay? Human wrath wants revenge, right? Divine wrath is all about justice. It's fair. Human wrath is biased and sometimes selfish in its motivation and orientation. Divine wrath knows the whole story and judges impartially. We need to understand that first before we jump into the scriptures, because I think we come to the table with a lot of presuppositions and assumptions, right, about what wrath is and what it's not. I guess a concise definition for us to work with tonight is this. Divine wrath is God's righteous anger and punishment of sin and evil in this world. So, let's go to the book. Romans chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 16. I'm going to jump around in chapters 1 and 2 a little bit. If you have your Bibles, flip them open. Of course, it'll be on the screen behind me for those of you playing at home. Let's jump in. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For the gospel is a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I wanted to start here as the next verse following that is going to kind of jump into wrath. But I wanted to start here at 16 because I think Paul's doing something very smart. And he's saying this, before we get into this uncomfortable topic of God's perfect punishment for sin and unrighteousness, you need to know one thing first. I am unashamed of the gospel. That's important. In my story, I was telling this to some other people, and they're like, well, what happened? I was like, well, they sent me in their other room, I got spanked, and then I had to ride in the world's longest car ride of my life to Marietta, which is the closest hospital, which is an hour away from us, and like as Levi's like milking it and getting ice cream and cookies, and I'm just like, and I say that to say that God, when we're talking about the divine nature of God, there's this sense of, I had friends growing up who used to say silly things to me like this. I hate my mom and dad. And I would say, oh, that's power packed. Why do you hate your mom and dad? They say, because they disciplined me, man. You can't even tell me what to do. I like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know. And I was like, and to me, even as a child, that seemed like a really strange sentiment. And I'm learning more and more about it. And I think this is what it boils down to. If we're going to say that we are people who love God, who love the Lord, you need to understand this. Mature love takes somebody for their whole self. And if you want to try to piece and parcel God and say, I love this thing about you, I love that you give me grace, and I love that you, you know, like, bless me, and you give me money to go to Ireland and stuff like that. But all this other stuff about wrath and stuff like that, I'm not really into it. I need you to know that that's a pretty childish sentiment, right? It's okay to hear that coming from like a 9-year-old who's got sent to time out. It's really strange to hear it from like a mature adult that we want to try and pick and choose. And so here's this thing that Paul's saying from the get-go, I'm not ashamed of this. Divine wrath is a part of God's nature. And so if we are a people who say we love God and we want to praise God, there's this invitation from God to praise him for all that he is. Does that make sense? That there's this idea that he is worthy of praise because he has wrath. And I'm still learning this. You know, I had my dad used to embarrass, mortify me when I was a teenager, and looking back now, I know it had more to do with me than him, but he was like, you know, not surprisingly, maybe he was like gregarious, and he was like a people person, and he loved to say hello and call people by their first name. The problem was, he often didn't know their names, and so he would just guess, and he was also a really bad guesser. And so I remember, this was me at 13, 14, this would mortify me. We would go out to the grocery store, hey there, Jim, my name is Tom. Hey there, Tom, good to see you. And I'm like, what are you doing, you know? And I was just mortified of this. And, you know, I was thinking about this and being like ashamed and embarrassed and stuff like that. And I think, you know, if I could go back in time and have a conversation with my dad and be like, you know what? It embarrasses me when you call people by the wrong name. I think he might laugh at my face and be like, that's funny and cute because there are about 47 things you do on a daily basis that could embarrass the heck out of me, but I just choose to love you, you know, with all of your skinny acne weirdness, you know, like, I just love you anyway, you know. And so there is a sense of irony when we come to the Lord and we're like, this whole thing is kind of uncomfortable for us, for him to look at us and go, are you out of your minds? Like, do you know how many things are embarrassing about you? Like, really? And yet, I love you. And there's this idea of through Christ, there's this unconditional acceptance through repentance. And this thing that you think is embarrassing about me is actually for your good. And it's a good thing. And so I want to try to convince you through the rest of the night of how the wrath of God is a really good thing. You ready? Let us go. Verse 18 says this. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his divine power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. I'm going to jump ahead to verse 28. It says this. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have been filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Whoa. I do want to jump into a serious note, but I got to tell you that the first time I was reading this list, the idea of disobeying parents stood out to me as somewhat comical in juxtaposition, right? Like, I was reading it and I was kind of giggling because it's like, they murder and rape and they set kittens on fire. They also don't do the dishes when their mom asks, you know, like, and I'm like, whoa, like, that's pretty serious, you know? But there's this list of all these things that people are doing. And I got to tell you, this, I want to be something that is an encouragement. And that seems really, really weird because it's talking about all these things that God is getting ready to punish. And I guess I want to share a brief story to that end. So I got invited a couple years ago to do paintballing. Paintballers, ever been paintballing, people? Did you like it? That's how I felt about it. Okay, good. We're on the same page. And I was really excited because I was like, oh, man, you know, we're going to, like, roll around in the ground, and we're going to shoot people, but they're not going to die, which is always, you know, nobody wants that. And it's going to be fun and all this stuff. And I found it to be one of the most frustrating experiences of my life, simply because instead of this, like, really, you know, like, strategic game that I thought I was getting into, it was just, like, full-out chaos the whole time, right? And I was, like, Nerdy McNerderson, and I was like, excuse me, what are the parameters and rules of this competition, you know? And it was really important to me, and I was like, okay, these people can't cross this line. This team can't cross this line. You, when somebody raises their hand, you can't keep shooting them, you know? Like, all of these, okay, in my mind, I have it clear, and then it's like, go, and I'm like, and people are jumping over the things, punching, you know, like, I'm like, oh, you got me. They're like, oh, like, you know, shoot me 15 more times and stuff. And I was getting so, so angry. And people, you know, I was like, you know, obviously I'm a vocal person. And I was telling people that this is stupid and stuff like that. And they're like, look, man, hey, just have fun. It's just a game. Has anyone ever told you that? Do you punch them in the face? Like, we're just out here for fun, man. Like, it's just a game. If that's your attitude towards games, do me a favor. Don't ever invite me to any game. No, like, what makes a game fun is, like, you pit your, like, smarts and athleticism against somebody else, and it's fun if you win. Like, that's what makes it fun. Like, winning. Like, I beat you. chump. Right? Like, that's what's fun about games. Like, I to my day, I've never, like, talked to somebody, like, how'd that football game go? Ah, we lost by 40 points. But we sure had a lot of fun doing it. Like, no, like, you play to win, right? And I say that as a comical analogy to say, thank God there's somebody who enforces rules, right? Thank God that God is a God of order and not chaos. Thank God. And, you know, it's kind of this comical, you know, illustration of a paintball game. But actually, it gets really serious really fast when we start talking about sin and evil and unrighteousness. Because I'm guessing here, we probably all have felt and experienced pain at the hands of somebody else, right? Unjust accusation, unfair things happening. In my lifetime, I've known and had friends who have been killed by drunk drivers. I've had friends and family and people close to me who have been raped. I've known people who have been murdered, okay? And there's this great sense of the disorder of the world that we live in, the brokenness, the sinfulness of it all. I'm here to tell you that divine wrath is something that should bring you comfort and hope. Because you're not responsible for making sure evil gets punished. Isn't that good news? It's not on you. You don't have to right the wrongs, despite what every Hollywood action movie says, right? Like the plot of every man movie is like, they killed my son, now you're gonna die. You know, like, it's every movie. Well, that's not the way God works. In Christ, evil does not go unpunished. That's good news. And it's not on you to make sure it gets right. Let's move on. Romans 2:11, 1 through 11, excuse me, says this. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you're condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such thing is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. And this is where we have to be really, really careful with this stuff. Because it's one thing to be like, yeah, evil does not go unpunished. Rah, rah, shishum ba. Get him, Lord. Get Hitler. Get him. Teach him a lesson. You know, like, and we're just like, oh, I can't wait till that person gets their judgment. And the Lord says, careful with that crap, right? Who are you to judge when you are just another fallen, broken, sinful person yourself? And I love this promise from God that says, everybody gets paid to them what they deserve. And this is another thing that I think we need to be thankful for from God is this. Because of this truth, and because that we know God's wrath is perfect and impartial, divine wrath leads us to repentance. I earlier said no evil goes unpunished, and that's true. And I think sometimes we think, you know, that's me. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? So that's me. I've failed, I've gossiped, I've slandered, I've been selfish, I've hurt people with my words and actions. But the gift of God in Jesus is that when we accept the grace of Christ, we take our debt of sin and unrighteousness, I'm sorry, I'm wrestling with this thing, and he takes it upon himself. And on the cross at Calvary, the wrath of God is poured out for the sins of men onto Jesus Christ. And so when we are in Christ, we appear before the Lord without pain, without a stain or blemish. Is that great? Even though you've messed up, even though you have separated yourself from God and chosen things of your own, we know, Romans 10:9 says this, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the promise of Scripture. And I think one of the reasons that we avoid the topic of wrath so often is we become guilt-induced, right? God is perfect in his holiness. He will punish all sin and unrighteousness. And we start doing the math in our heads and we go, oh, that's me. I don't think that divine wrath should be something that causes you to doubt your faith or doubt the work that Christ has done on your behalf, right? It's perfect. It's finished if we're in Christ. Instead, I think it should be something that leads us more to repentance. It says, and thankfulness to God for what he's done on our behalf, you know? And the other thing, mother of, oh, son of, stay on my face. The beard is trying to push it off. Beard has a mind of its own. Here's the other thing. I was talking about this, and I was talking about this concept of divine wrath and how it brings comfort and how it leads us to repentance and how it's a part of who God is, and so it's something we should be thankful for. And I was having this conversation with somebody, and they said, but does God ever punish us on this side of eternity, right? When we start talking about God's wrath, our minds quickly go to, you know, this idea of eternal separation that is talked about in Scripture called hell, you know. But the question was, does God demonstrate wrath to us on this side of eternity? When we mess up, does he get us? And it's a really interesting question. And again, I think it maybe comes from a misunderstanding of the nature and the character of God. Because we need to remember these things that are truth in Scripture. Hebrews 12:6, God disciplines those he loves, right? So if you're experiencing discipline from God, there is no other reason then he loves you. God does not a bully with a magnifying glass on an anthill, right? We know that he loves us and he takes care of us. And here's another promise from Scripture, Romans 8:28, for we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. In all things. And that might be really hard to hear if you're in a season of pain or of injustice, but I'm here to tell you what you're experiencing is not because God's upset at you. If you're experiencing discipline, and we probably have to sit down over coffee and tease all that out, is this really discipline? Is this spiritual attack? Or is this just the consequences of your life and your choices, right? Like those are three different things. But if you are experiencing the discipline of God, you need to know it's from a place of motivation of love and restoration, because that's what God operates by. And here's the last thing I want to say about wrath, I guess, tonight. I guess I thought this was a sermon, but I guess instead it was just a smattering of my thoughts, which is fine. So I have the band come up as I kind of close. And this is the last thing that I think, as I was praying and talking to the Lord about this. Divine wrath means your life matters. Do you get that? Your life matters. We're in an age where it's becoming more and more common just to give everybody a star for participation. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody, like, there's, you know, 20 tiny children on a soccer field, and they all just like run like a group of gazelles in one pack after a soccer ball, and then everybody gets a trophy, you know, like, and I think that's awesome, and there are a lot of really good reasons for that, and I'm for it. But I'm worried sometimes if that doesn't get like constantly reinforced, that we're kind of left with the impression that our life really doesn't matter. And I think one of the things that we see in the divine nature with God, the fact that there is wrath, the fact that there is an eternal, perfect punishment for sin and unrighteousness means your life matters. Because there's a right way and a wrong way to do it, right? And in Christ, we know that on our own, we're never going to be able to measure up. Thank God that Christ has done it for us. Here's what wrath means, and this is good news for me. It means you can win at life, right? It's not just for funsies. You can win. You can win at life, not just the board game, the real thing. You can win. Because the scriptures tell us that in Christ Jesus, we have the victory, right? That's what winning is. Submitting to the grace of Christ and accepting his lordship allows us to live a life of significance in which we're not contributing to the evil and the disobedience that is causing God's wrath, but rather we can be a people who are participating in the restoration of all things to God through Christ. Good news. So, I'm glad I cheered you up about wrath. Let's put that one behind us. What we're going to do now is we're going to sing some more songs. And I really felt as we were preparing, what an awesome opportunity for us to do two things. And I don't care which order, but I think everybody in here could probably do both of them. The first is this. Let's thank God for wrath. Right? Let's say thank you, God, not just because you're faithful, not just because you're trustworthy, not just because you're love and grace and all this goodness, but I want to thank you for all of you. I want to step into a mature relationship with you, not a childish relationship with you, and I want to thank you for all of you, and that includes your perfect divine wrath. Let's do that, okay? And the other thing is this. Let's take an opportunity to come before the Lord and repent, right? Let's take an opportunity for this to kind of be something that allows us to be sober-minded and to say, wow, I have failed you in many, many ways, and yet you continue to offer me this amazingly ridiculous gift of grace, and you invite me to participate in life with you instead of life apart from you through and in the work of Jesus Christ. So let's do those things. We're going to have some of my Shoshbin people and other leaders back there behind the curtains. So if you want to go pray and get right with the Lord and kind of, you know, just do your thing and all that stuff, they're going to be there and they want to pray with you. For the rest of us, I think what an opportunity for us to be praising God for all that he is and the fullness of his goodness. So let's pray together. Jesus, thanks for tonight. Thanks for an opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. And the truth is, you're perfect. Whether we're talking about your love, your faithfulness, or your wrath, it's perfect. And it's all a part of you. Thank God that you are as good and as truthful and as just as you are. Thank you that on your watch, evil doesn't go unpunished and chaos doesn't reign. Thank you that you are impartial and perfect in your judgments, and that you long for all men to come to you through Christ. May we use this night as an opportunity to praise you for who you are and to seek your face by the cross of Jesus Christ. May we accept the grace you gave on our behalf so that we may be in right relationship with you once more. Pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, conquered sin and death. Amen.